David Tsai.
Spend the David Tsai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang, the last segment on this day-long Thursday Live. Bhagwan has very graciously blessed that we have a very distinguished elder, someone who was there with us in the previous session of Vahini Satsang. In fact, many sessions of Vahini Satsang now, Mr. H. J. Bhagya. Those of us who were listening to what he had shared last time, we were discussing about the 10th chapter of Prema Vahini, and sir shared some amazing instances about how one should not be at any point in time bothered with outside influences when one is walking on the path of his principles. And he shared really powerful anecdotes from his own life. Today we move on to the fourth segment of chapter 10. So we will listen to that and then we will wait for Bhagya sir's insights and reflections on what Bhagwan has written in Prema Vahini.
దీనికి మునుపు భక్తులయందే మూడు విధములైన విశ్వాసము కలవారుందురు. సత్కార్యములు చేయుటయందు, భగవదారాధన చేయుటయందు విఘ్నములు కలుగునేమో, కష్టనష్టములు సంభవించునేమో అని భయపడి ప్రారంభించని వారు మొదటివారు. వీరు అధములు. ప్రారంభించి మధ్యలో విఘ్నములు కష్టనష్టములు వచ్చినవని బలహీనులై భయపడి మధ్యలో వదలవారు రెండవవారు. మధ్యలో ఎన్ని కష్టనష్టములు కలిగినను, ఎట్టి బాధలు సంభవించినను పట్టుపట్టి శాంతమగవరకు సాధించువారు మూడవవారు. వీరు ఉత్తములు. ఇట్టి పట్టుదలను, ఇట్టి శ్రద్ధను విడవక సత్యమును సాధించుటే నిజభక్తుల లక్షణం.
బిఫోర్ వి గెట్ ఇన్ టు దిస్, ఈవెన్ అమంగ్ డివోటీస్ దేర్ ఆర్ 3 కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ దేర్ ఫెయిత్. The first category comprises those who do not undertake any noble task and offer worship to the divine, apprehending that this could lead to obstacles as well as losses and difficulties. They are called adhamas. The second category consists of those who, after starting noble endeavors, stop it midway because of their fear arising out of weakness when faced with obstacles, losses and difficulties. The third category comprises those who, in spite of how many obstacles, losses and difficulties that come their way, persevere to fulfill their noble endeavors till the end. They are called uttamas. The mark of a true devotee is to have such kind of steadfastness and perseverance to achieve the truth.
So those are the three kinds of devotees based on faith. Swami doesn't mention the word madhyama, but Swami says adhama and uttama. In other discourses, Swami has mentioned the second category to be madhyamas. So what are your thoughts as you listen to these categories of devotees, sir?
Actually, if you see, I would put the same category but slightly different. There are certain people who are ignorant, totally in tamas, darkness, so to say. And the another extreme is those who are fully awakened. These two categories, I don't think we have to bother much about them. At the most, those who are awakened, they should help those they are sleeping. And it is for the middlers the spiritual path is very important, because unless a person comes out from tamas, he will not appreciate what is to be done. Now, based on this, can I share one very nice incident which happened in our MBA department? When every semester we have some workshop.
Yes.
So one of the workshop was on advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
People from outside, they were invited to give input to our MBA students. And well, that is the way people deal in outside world. Some of the things, slides shown by the advertisement manager who had come to give input to our MBA students were not suited or fit enough the culture which we have in Satyasai Institute. So I showed my little bit of displeasure, and finally, when it was not taken that seriously, because for them is nothing abnormal, I told him, "Sir, our culture is quite different. Let us not show something which is not suitable here." Well, I found that the other people, senior people, they didn't object to this. Later on, they were justifying that, see, you should not insult when we invite somebody from outside. I said, I did not insult him. I told him that this our culture is slightly different. Okay. Now, I was very keen to see what is Swami's response. In the evening, when all they came for darshan, I know that Swami is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. So I thought Swami will reflect what happened in the morning. Swami did reflect. In fact, he poured out more love to those people. Saw their he created vibhuti for one person. He created even a golden ring and said that this is for your wife. So, of course, later on I came to know that Swami needs an opportunity. The wife had very serious problem. So Swami took an opportunity to solve the problem of the devotee. Now, coming back to this, I was I was wondering that how can Swami tolerate such things? So I was boiling inside. Swami came to my point. Then I said, "Swamiji, can I ask one question?" Instead of the question which was in my mind, I made it a little more polished. I said, "Swamiji, how to develop the patience of avatar?" Because I didn't know how to deal with such people.
How to ask.
How to ask. So I put it in a different way.
I know.
That the, how to have patience of avatar. He went two steps further, looked back, and he told me, "You can't develop the patience. That is my nature, Ra." So don't try and think that you will have a patience of avatar. Okay, but my question was not answered, because I wanted to know how to deal with such people. What to do. Now, then subsequently, after a month or so, Swamiji was going to Vrindavan, and he called all teachers and students. And he made an announcement that any person having spiritual doubts, please ask. Swamiji would like to give your answer here and now before he goes to Vrindavan. Nobody was raising the hand. Then I looked around for a few seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. I raised my hand. Immediately Swami said, "Are you a student or a teacher?" I said, "Swamiji, in front of you, we are all teachers.
All students.
Not even the teachers are students.
Right. Yes.
So Swami said, "What is your question?" I said, "Swamiji, when I see that in front of you, physically when you are present, people have one type of behavior which is in tune with what you have given us a guideline. when physically you are away, and we still revere the chair, touch the chair, imagining that you are sitting there, and then we start our proceedings. But it is definitely different from compared to when you are physically present. How to deal such a situation, particularly what to do with such people? Now everybody was silent. Of course, one more question was put, but Swamiji gave the beautiful answer. I am coming only to the answer rather than the full discourse. Swamiji said there are three category of people. Because you are talking about three category of people, that reminds me. He said there are three category of people. One category, those who are sleeping. Second category, those who are awake. Third category, Swami said in Telugu something, but the translator translated, the third type of people are those who are awake but pretending to be sleeping. You can't do anything with them. Swami said no. Swami again repeated, again the translation was same. Swami himself came out with the English translation for his own Telugu version. Swami said third category of people are those who are sleeping but pretending to be awake. Everybody was surprised. Then Swami said, see, from the spiritual angle, first category, those who are in darkness. They don't know much about the spirituality. They have to yet open an account. Second category of people, those who are fully awakened. It is the duty of such people to help to wake people, those who are sleeping. Third category of people are those who pretend that they are awakened, that they know everything about Swami, Swami's teachings, but actually they don't know.
They do not know, and they do not know that they do not know.
They do not know that they do not. I don't think that may be they, because they know very well, but they pretend that we know.
As if they know.
As if they know. They put other people down.
Yes.
Now, that was my question. And Swami gave a beautiful answer. He said, Bhagya, don't waste your time on them.
Oh.
Leave them alone. Very serious thing Bhagavan said, even God cannot help them.
Oh my God.
That means the spiritual pride if we have, then nobody can help us. Now, I got the answer, but can I extend the...
Please.
Connecting one more interaction with Bhagavan on similar ground. Swami made certain changes in our MBA syllabus. Some people were happy, some people were not. We had a lot of discussions that what we should do. Finally, Swami gave the direct, indirect hints what we should do, but still there were a lot of difference of opinion. Then I asked Swami, Swamiji, you have given the instructions very clearly. Why all of us do not follow the same thing? Because in your delivery, there is no ambiguity. Why there is difference of capturing and understanding what you said? Then, again, a very, very powerful guidelines. It opened my eyes. Swami said, there are four reasons why some of you do not follow what I say. I said, Swamiji, please tell me. He said, the first thing, how many of you have firm conviction that Sai Baba is God? Then second, that how many of you, even though you have conviction, but you may be afraid that if we follow what Swami says, there will be something which we will have to face. That means they have fear. And third category of people, third reason, he said, some of you have personal desires which are different from Swami's instructions. So you think, you impose, superimpose your likes and dislikes over Swami's guidelines. And the fourth one, he said, many of you come from outside, you people have cancer, mental cancer. I can cancel other cancer, but the mental cancer is difficult to get rid of. And like somebody may have a malaria fever, even if mother prepares sweet dish, I give you sweet dishes, but it tastes bitter for you. Or if a person has diabetes, mother prepares sweet dish, she will not give it to the child who has diabetes. So what can I do? These are the reasons why we deviate from what Bhagavan has given clear-cut guidance, and especially in line with the discussion which we are holding, why there are different types of people. So I think if we pay attention to this, we will be very, very nicely guided. And these things are not available in, at least I have not come up across the spiritual textbooks where these things are so clearly spelled out.
I think in casual conversations, you know, Bhagwan was someone who was guiding people all the time.
Right.
It was not just spiritual instructions were not coming only when he was giving a discourse. But I think every casual conversation, that's why we have had the people who have lived with Bhagwan, who had that sort of a little enlightened understanding of Bhagwan. They used to always say every mantra of every word that comes out of his
mantra.
His mouth is a mantra. And here Bhagwan is saying the mark of a true devotee is to have such kind of steadfastness and perseverance to achieve that truth.
That's right. Firm conviction.
Firm. There's a first category.
That's it.
Sir, as you were mentioning what Swami was telling about those who are awake and those who are asleep, there is that beautiful shloka from Bhagavad Gita. And in a very interesting way, it's related to what we are actually discussing here today. Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sayami, yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pasyato muni. So what he says is, when the whole world is awake, they are asleep. When the whole world is asleep, he is awake. They are awake. And those people are the munis, they are the yogis. The yogi is awake when the whole world is asleep. Now Swami asks, does that make every robber a yogi? A thief?
Or watchman?
Watchman or robber, they are awake when the whole world is asleep. Hello, I have become a yogi today. No. And then he says, they are asleep when the whole world is awake. So the inner meaning Swami says is, you are awake to the control of senses. So when he says you are awake, when the whole world is asleep, they are asleep because they have no control over the senses.
Yes.
So then he says, you are asleep. They are awake to the worldly pleasures, but you are asleep to the worldly pleasures.
Wow.
And I think this inner meaning that Swami gave for this shloka goes, you know, in a way, it's connected to the different types of devotees. Because a devotee's entire focus and concentration is on the Lord. And every problem that he faces, or he or she faces, is at the level of the body and the senses. So, you know, at the level of the body, they have problems. At the level of the senses, they have problems. At the level of the mind, they have problems. But if they are attuned, if their heart is attuned to the Lord, there they can have no problems.
Yeah, that's right.
So, for them, everything else, it's not that, you know, the other very beautiful thing which Swami says is, somebody asks Swami, Swami, why do these devotees have to go through so many problems in their lives?
Yes.
Every saint says, you know, it's better not to be a devotee. The moment you are a devotee of the Lord, problems enter your life. Always having problems. Then Swami gave the most amazing answer. He asked that person, did they come and tell you that they are having problem? Did Mirabai complain? Did Tukaram, Sakubai, did they complain?
Draupadi.
Did they come and tell you, hello, I'm having problems, please save me? No. Because for them, these were not problems. In fact, Mother Kunti went that one extra mile to say, Lord, please bless me with problems. Bless me with problems so that I can think of you all the time. So those who are awake and those who are asleep, I think it's at different levels. And here, as Swami is giving the three levels, in a way, you know, if you see those who are very scared to undertake, Swami says the first category, Adama, the lowest type is they are very scared to undertake the effort. So if you say, I don't want to get into the water, I don't like water, but I want the experience of swimming. So then that doesn't happen.
Yes.
So the second category is like me. I jumped into the water and I've not yet learned swimming. So swim for some time. I said, it's quite difficult. When I come back next time, we'll try swimming more. But the more, you know, in spite of all the difficulties, those
based
who persevere.
On that, may I again share a direct question I put to Swami?
Sir.
Once in Poonachandra session, Swami was narrating Sakubai, Draupadi, and all Prahlada. And he said, do you know, every day I get millions of letters. I said, Swamiji, millions of letters? He said, yes, asking for this and that. It's not a physical letter. Even mentally, somebody is praying to Lord, he receives a letter. That's the thing which I understood. Then he said, very simple. I don't pick up all the letters and read and answer. My general law of karma, it settles most of them.
Oh.
So then exactly this thought came to me, because Swami was narrating about such great saints, that Swamiji, when you say this law of karma, all these great sages and saints, invariably we have seen that their lives have been very tough. They must have done such bad karmas in their lives. Why do they suffer so much? Then Swami laughed. He said, here's very important, which I had never understood earlier. And Swami gave a wonderful reply. He said, sometimes I pick up the devotees who are fully attuned to me. They are full faith.
Wow.
Whatever they go through in their lives, their faith will not shake. I pick up such devotees. It's not because of their karma, but I make them go through the troubles, ups and downs, so that they can become ideal example of how to face the life. In spite of paying attention or showing devotion to Bhagwan, that how, when they say that even the great devotees are going through this such a difficulty, who are we? So they get consolation. They get an ideal example that we better continue to have faith and face all the difficulties in life.
Wow.
It was really eye-opener to me. I was thinking, why such great people always suffer?
The avatar is his life is completely planned. Even the saint's life is completely planned, just so that it becomes a beautiful demonstration and an example for all. In fact, two thoughts come here. As sir, you mentioned this, I remember when Mrs. Rani Subramaniam, as fondly we used to call her, Rani Ma, she was a very spiritual aspirant, a great spiritual aspirant, and when she asked Swami once, Swami, which books to read, you know, because she was reading so many spiritual books, and that is when Swami says, don't read all these spiritual books because you will get confused. Because different philosophies, different masters will give different philosophies, you will get completely confused. So Swami, what to read? Because if you want to read, read only the lives of saints, Swami says. Wow. Saints and sages, because that will give you inspiration and courage to walk on the path.
Because they have been already walking on.
They are walking on the path. So different people will have different stories, but you know, they all of them would have gone through these trials and tribulations, and that will give you the courage to walk on the path.
Wonderful.
Instead of philosophies, read the life of the people who have implemented this in their life.
Excellent.
On a slightly different perspective to this, when some of the devotees were in the interview room, Swami asked, "Do you want moksha?" All of you, anybody, you all want moksha? Yes, Swami. All of them raised their hands. So Swami said, very simple. You will get moksha. Only you have to do one thing. Swami, what is it? Don't follow anybody. He said, don't follow anybody. You can read the lives of saints.
Yes.
But then each one's path is different. Each one's life is different. And yes. The experience is molded by your perspective, your perspective and how you take to life. It's very different.
In fact, just like when you think about it, Bhagwan mentions that just like Arjuna was just a medium for Bhagavad Gita, similarly, Swami says Radha was a medium to convey Divya Prema, to convey what is love. I think similarly, all these devotees are just one mediums for Bhagwan to convey all those lessons.
Very good.
And in fact, this has happened even in the contemporary time, I would feel many times, because so many we have seen, even in the recent times, somebody like Professor Kasturi, and when you see lives of Mrs. Ratnalal, you have so many devotees, when you see their lives, you can see shades of that kind of elevated state of consciousness with time. Wonderful. So we'll move on to the next segment, sir.
I think, why not?
Uraka prapanchika vyamohamulaku kshanikamaina prakruti santosha sadupayamulaku brahmachandaka shashvata santosha sadupayamula pondagoru margamunu vadulukonaka పారమార్థిక కర్మలను సంపూర్ణమైన ప్రేమతో చేయుము. శ్రద్ధ పట్టుదల లేని కర్మలు ఎన్ని అయినను పరమార్థ జ్ఞానమును కలుగ చేయవు. ప్రేమ వలననే శ్రద్ధ, శ్రద్ధ వల్లనే జ్ఞానము, జ్ఞానం వల్లనే పరమభక్తి. అట్టి పరమభక్తి కలవారికే పరమాత్మ ప్రాప్తి.
10.5. Without getting deluded with ephemeral attractions and transient physical pleasures, and not giving up from the comfortable path of achieving eternal bliss, engage in godly pursuits with complete love. No matter how many activities one may do, if there is no steadfastness and perseverance, it will not lead to knowledge of the divine. Steadfastness comes from love. Wisdom comes from steadfastness, and this wisdom leads to supreme devotion. The Supreme Lord is attainable only to the one who is filled with such supreme devotion.
Wow. So much packed there.
Chain reaction.
Yes. One little bit the story comes again to my mind.
Sure.
Because I have been dealing in my MBA department and MBA students, when computers were introduced to our department, beautiful things happened. Shall I give little more insight to the story?
Yes, yes.
Can I take the names of earlier devotees?
Sure, sir. No
Please
problem.
Do, sir. One, Kanan Jogarao.
Yes, sir.
He was very good devotee, like a Karma Yogi.
Yes.
Whatever Swami wanted to undertake, the civil work, I think he would be the wonderful instrument. Swami used him as an instrument. So Swami gave him a task of installing the computers in our college. With his good knowledge and experience, worked so many places, he suggested to Swami that, Swamiji, we will have a computers installed in the basement. I am talking in late 80s.
Okay.
So, Swami said, why? Swami, these computers need air conditioning and we have already basement. Excuse me. Then, the power required to maintain the low temperature in the basement will be less. So, computers will be safe. Swami said, in the rains, water might trickle from the hills around, and unnecessarily water will go to the basement. It may spoil the computers.
He
said, no, Swami, I will design a channel where water will get collected and get drained over there.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, okay, go ahead. efforts were put, computers were installed. As Swami had said, that next July, very heavy rains, and it was just to witness what Bhagwan had said, that computers were almost floating in the water. So, excuse me. Sorry, my throat is a little...
That's fine.
So, then he had no face to say, Swami, what should I do? Swami told him, make it outside, just in the entrance of the building, institute. In that, the work was started. There was one young engineer who was fascinated with the environments, and he came to know, he was experts in computers and also installations. So he had a lot of interactions. Finally, the project was completed in time, and it was the month of May. Then Swami gave them a nice pad namaskars and some gifts as appreciation. That's the beauty of Swami, how he deals with every project and people involved in the project. So this boy, he got an opportunity to have a namaskar, and he was looking at Swami's face. Swami said, what? Swamiji, can I get the MBA seat here?
Oh.
Swami said, you are working with these contractors. Yes, Swami, I have done computer engineering. I want to do MBA.
Okay.
Swami immediately granted.
Wow.
And he said, okay, go through the formalities, whatever you have to appear for examination. And since he already gave the divine permission, he got the admission. Now, why I am giving this background, he had the faith that Swami is God.
Mm-hmm.
And he really, as a student, I know, I saw his behavior. He did his MBA with flying colors. After MBA, obviously, they would go for searching a job. He was called for an interview at one place where a lot of experienced engineers were called. He had engineering as well as MBA qualification and very little experience. He went there, found that 5-6 people were also other candidates along with him. Right morning, 8 o'clock, they were sitting near the receptionist, and she told them that the boss has not yet come, he will call you. And people were spending time, few of them they knew among themselves, but this boy was quiet. He was spending time in reading something. Around 10 o'clock, then the message came from the boss through the receptionist that give them tea, coffee, snacks. They had lunchtime. It went on till lunchtime. Then they were given a nice lunch. Then they thought that after lunch boss will be available and interviews will start. After lunch became 2 o'clock, 2:30. Now most of the candidates became restless. Then our boy, he was quietly reading, and around 2:33, two of the candidates, they fought with the receptionist and they were about to leave the place. Then phone call came from the boss that send that person for an interview. He went there. In 2 minutes, he came back. And he left his belongings. Second one, same thing happened. Third one. Fourth one, little time. Fifth one, he came, and he, because he has told other two friends that, wait, my fate also will be like that. 2 minutes I'm coming and joining you. We'll go together. So that boy said that this is an eyewash. They don't want any candidate, or they might have already decided. In the meantime, our boy, he got a call and he went inside for the interview room. In the interview room to face the boss. Then, moment he went there, this boy narrated all these things to me. That's how I know. He said, looking at him, boss told him that you are selected. Sit down. He said, sir, but you have not taken my interview. He said, no, I have taken. Since when? Since morning 8 o'clock. But you have called us now. Those days it was not very common. CC camera was there. So they were observed. Wow. Then he said, no, please tell me, when did you take interview? He said, I know everything. And by the way, what were you reading? And he told him that our MBA student told that I'm simply MBA and I know all these data. I don't want those data. It's with me. What were you reading? What were you doing? Why? Young chap like this, having so much of patience, that's what I want. My job profile requires this type of patience. So I've already interviewed you. But you tell me. Then he showed the book. He was reading Swamiji's discourses. In that, he was reading particular chapter on 3 P's, essential 3 P's for effective manager.
Wow.
Patience, purity, and perseverance.
Phenomenal.
So he said, see, one little bit with the firm conviction, faith, I'm putting into practice, and that gave me the job. Boss was so happy, and then he talked about our institute and things like that. Now, coming to the point was that firm faith we have,
yes,
conviction we have, whatever Bhagavan has said is for our good, it is definitely going to make our life very comfortable.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, even in the previous segment where Bhagavan, where he's talking about these adhamas, people who don't undertake any spiritual discipline or practice, thinking that it will become a loss for them. I think that is what apparently is the perception in among many youngsters of the times. You know, you think, okay, if I give this much time to Swami, or if I go this much time to give to organizational work, you know, it's becoming a loss. I can utilize that time to prepare for my career. I can utilize that time to, you know, improve my skill or whatever. We feel that if you have given up any of time for, you know, for God or for anything sort of spiritual, then it's a loss for us. But what we don't realize is that is the investment that is needed.
Right.
Just like this student.
Purity is required.
What gave him the job is not his talent, but not the so-called worldly talent, but the spiritual talent.
Right.
It is the spiritual talent that gave him a worldly job. And spiritual talent will give you, of course, spiritual grace, but worldly job is nothing for spiritual talent. Wonderful. But in fact, here, as Sai Prakash was mentioning, this chain reaction, this is something very, very profound, isn't it, sir? Where Swami is saying steadfastness comes from love, wisdom comes from steadfastness, and this wisdom leads to supreme devotion. And this Supreme Lord is attainable only to the one who is filled with such supreme devotion.
On this devotion, supreme devotion.
Yes, sir.
A beautiful thing came out. In Vrindavan, every year we take MBA students for a summer project. Then one day, boys were praying to Swami for interaction. Swami, please talk to us. Swami said, no, no, no. Then, Swami, please, all you are part-time devotions. When problem comes, you people pray.
Yes.
Then, Swami involved me to convey some significant thing. He said, Bhakya, you have come from industries, you have worked there. How many types of workers you used to deal with? I said, Swamiji, basically two. One, part-time workers, and another full-time workers. He said, part-time workers, what you used to give? I said, Swamiji, based on whatever work, number of hours they have put in, we used to calculate the wages and give to them. And full-time workers, they get full-time, full salary, then maybe DNS allowance, and also they are eligible for pension.
Yes.
He said, yes, I am also a spiritual manager. All of you are only part-time devotees. When the problem comes, you pray. Then in my mind, it was, Swami, but they have been praying full day. It's a part-time prayer and you get the reward.
Yes.
Over your wages given. But you should have full-time devotion. And full-time devotion, see, just like you said, full-time worker, they get salary, DNS allowance, pension. I also give them the full salary and then DNS, DNS allowance. Then pension, that means I give them grace, yes, which will be useful not only in this birth, the birth hereafter.
Wow.
But they are not full-time devotion. They don't have full-time devotion. And full-time devotion is easier than part-time. Hmm. I said, Swamiji, with the part-time devotion, they have been doing all these things, praying to you, and you call this as a part-time devotion. How can full-time devotion be easier? Hmm. And where is the time? 24 hours they can't pray to you.
Hmm.
And you said, full-time devotion is easier than part-time? Swami, I am totally lost. Swami said, I have my yardsticks of devotion. The full-time or supreme devotion is maintaining equanimity,
yes,
under all circumstances at all the times.
Wow.
That is full-time devotion. Is it not easy? You don't have to do anything. I just smile. Because how can person maintain equanimity under all circumstances and all the time? Unless you have firm conviction that, yes, whatever is happening is, yes,
for my good.
And it is His grace, His, yes, prasadam for me.
Yes.
Then I can maintain the equanimity.
Yes.
And that is called full-time devotion.
Wow. In fact, it's quite an exercise if every day, every moment something happens, to keep telling yourself, this is good for me. This is the best thing that could have happened. This is good for me. This is good for me. I think if you do this exercise, maybe we can perhaps experience a glimpse of how life pans out, how it is walking on the path of full-time devotion.
Here, sir, when I was just, this chain reaction that we are talking about, so he says, steadfastness is what we have to do. We should be steadfast on our path. And basically, in a sense, that is the action that we are supposed to do. We are to be steadfast. If you have that steadfastness, then that love and faith develop in you. And from that comes wisdom and then parabhakti.
Yes.
That's what Swami is saying. If you look at it, what is it to be steadfast? In what should we be steadfast? Now, just one or two points come to my mind. You can always correct me and, you know, add to. In one of the Vahinis, I think it is the Dhyana Vahini, Swami says, Namasmarana is very important. In fact, when I started reading the Dhyana Vahini, I was expecting that, you know, it'll be all about meditation, step one, step two, step three. He has never written the word meditation without using the word Namasmarana.
Yeah.
Every place he has mentioned Dhyana in Dhyana Vahini, he has always added it with Namasmarana. He said, chant the name of the Lord, visualize His form, and then try to meditate. So, that steadfastness that we are talking about is this chanting of God's name, Namasmarana. Because Swami has spoken a lot about Namasmarana. And one more place where He gives this analogy, He says that Namasmarana, or chanting the name is like the lozenges that you chew. When you have cough and cold, you take the, you keep chewing the lozenges, and slowly that goes and, you know, soothes your throat. So He says the Lord's name is like that. And you know that sentence in Dhyanavaini which is very beautiful, he says, do not discuss this path with anybody.
Yeah.
He says, do not discuss this path, they will make fun of you. They will tell you that what can the small name of the Lord bring for you? He says, they will tell, this is a small name. What? He says, they do not understand the power of the name. I am telling you, you chant the name, that is more than enough.
Wow.
What a beautiful assurance.
Wow.
And the life of Hanuman,
absolutely.
You just see, just the same. You see this timeline, it's like reflected in Hanuman's life, only with the name of the Lord. How that faith, that love, that wisdom. In fact, Swami says that in another context, he says different stages of Sharanagati. And he says the highest, Swamevaham, that is the highest form of Sharanagati, you and I are one. He says that Hanuman achieved through Parabhakti. Correct?
Swami had played pun with my name, Bhagya. He said, what's the meaning of Bhagya? A lot of things happen, but just coming to this point, he said, Bha means bhakti, Gya means jnana.
Oh.
Bhakti will reinforce jnana, jnana will reinforce bhakti.
Wow.
And I was thinking, what about the karma?
Karma.
Then he said, see, bhakti and jnana, there are two banks of the river, and the water inside the river, on the bed of the river, is like karma.
That is karma.
All three have to be there. Then only you reach the goal. But as you rightly said, that the bhakti will reinforce, it will give you better jnana, better wisdom. And if you are really wise, or you have jnana, then bhakti is part and parcel of that. It's not separate. So both of them are required, or rather, as Swami said, reinforce each other.
Wow. In fact, you know, when Bhagavan writes this line that Supreme Lord is attainable only to the one who is filled with such supreme devotion, I was reminded of an anecdote, a little conversation with Bhagavan that happened in Kodaikanal in the year 2007, where Bhagavan sends all the boys for shopping and he gives them money, and generally it's a very beautiful session when all the boys come back with whatever they have purchased. So someone would have bought a shawl for their mother, someone would have bought a sari for their sister, and somebody would have bought a toy for the little brother, whatever. And Swami would be very delighted looking at all the purchases. And this year, in 2007, all the boys, some of the boys wanted to do something different, because Swami was speaking so much about Mother Meera during that session that year. So they bought a statue of Mother Meera, and they bring it to Bhagwan, and so, you know, they now want to present it to Swami. Everybody buys things for, you know, their family members, but here boys want to buy something for Swami. So after they come back, and you know, they are just trying to, you know, raise themselves up a little bit and trying to show to Bhagwan as much as what is it, and they just show that beautiful statue of Mother Meera and say, Swami, they only say, Swami, this is for you, Swami. And Swami just looks at that, and Swami blesses it, and he said, you keep it. And then Swami says, this is an idol of Meera. Swami says, this is Meera Bomma. This is an idol of Meera.
Yeah.
And then Swami places his hand on his chest, on his heart, and Swami says, Meera is in my heart.
Wow.
You know, I was just thinking that ultimately the acme of our devotion is not when we are able to feel the Lord in our heart, but when the Lord is able to feel us in His heart.
Wow.
I think that is what is the pinnacle of devotion. And Mother Meera was, you know, was that kind of a devotee, as we were discussing, you know, whom Bhagavan probably shaped just to give us those lessons of how to walk on the spiritual path. And if you see her life, it was same thing, steadfastness, absolute steadfastness, come what may.
Yeah.
And as Sai Prakash is mentioning about Namasmarana, I think she was again steadfastly chanting only Swami's name.
Soaked
in that. Roaming in the streets, all that Bhagavan talks about, you know, infamy, slander, I think everything she faced in life. But that steadfastness led to love and wisdom and finally supreme devotion, finally winning a place in the Lord's heart. Wonderful. I think there is so much more. I think in the 10.6 there is something even more beautiful, isn't it, sir? But I think probably time is running out, so we will have to wind up with these two segments. Any final thoughts you have on this idea of devotion, sir, supreme devotion, and we'll end with that.
I think devotion is a very general word. Primarily, it is love of God. Many times, the students ask me that how do we express love? When Swami was available in a physical form, it was very easy. But same love, how can we express now? On that, Bhagavan had given a beautiful guideline. I think one story. Draupadi. Bhagavan had told the story that how when Lord Krishna, as a play, he had cut his finger and Draupadi tried to dress it. And the need, when need came, unlimited supply of saris for Draupadi. So one boy was asking, Swami, you take only so much, such a little thing and in return you give minimum times. He said, yes, because I see your feelings, not the quantity. So one boy, he used to always bring lavang. There's this glove, removing the top portion of the glove, because Swamiji invariably removes it and takes one. So Swami showed one and gave and took another one. Took the same thing. Another boy, he played a little side the interaction with Bhagavan and student. One boy, he wanted to play that Swamiji, you are omnipresent, omniscient. What he did, he removed the caps of all the cloth pieces, excepting one. So in the mind he said, Swami, you take that, remove the cap, and that you eat, then it will prove to me that you are omnipresent, omniscient.
Oh my God, the kind of game students play.
Then Swami went closer to him, he was holding in a small bowl, and Swami played with the lavang as if winnowing each one. Finally took one, showed it to him, that see, it is with the cap.
Oh my God.
He removed the cap and Swami put it in his mouth. Now this boy, because Swami had given him liberty, then he said, Swamiji, when you take this, we are assured that in our life, whatever we need, you will automatically give it to us. So Swami patted him. And the next boy is asking, Swami, Swami, we are able to offer it to you. So we are assured that yes, you are with us throughout our life. But what about those who are not able to have access to you, or they are not close to you physically, to offer at least something so that in their lives they will receive anything, whatever they want, or whatever is needed. Swami said, you don't have to offer to me in physical form. Your feelings are important. Whenever you do something or you want to offer it to Bhagavan, you offer it to a needy person thinking that you are offering to Swami inside him.
Wow.
It reaches me. And you get the same benefit as was given to Draupadi. So that was such a wonderful revelation that is a true devotion, considering that God is in everyone.
Yes.
Automatically our behavior, our dealings, our speech, thinking will be in that direction, that yes, Swami is present in everyone, Swami is present in me also. That if Swami were physically present in this form, how will I deal? How will I act? How will I behave? So that is the final, I feel, the expression of devotion. You don't have to go early in the morning to the temple or your shrine in the house and offer flowers and fruits, and as Swami said, that what are those flowers, fruits and water? They are not physical. They are. I don't have to elaborate on that. So, same thing throughout the day we can do.
Yes.
That is the, I feel, the true devotion.
Wow, beautiful. How Bhagwan used to say, the best way to love God is to love all, serve all.
You know, one very correctly, same sentence I want to repeat. Why? Because once boys performed a drama, he was sitting on a chair and he had given me an opportunity sitting next to him. And after this, everybody said, Swami, we love you.
Hmm.
So, Swami did not say anything to them. He simply raised his hand of blessings. And to me, he said, the best way to love God is to love all.
Wow. I think this one mantra is enough. No need to read any more Vahinis. No need to read any scriptures, actually. It's something to really ponder over every day. Wow. Fantastic. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to this session.
I enjoyed myself. All things, how they come out.
Wow. You just feel so so blessed and really...
In fact, I should be thanking you and the listeners that... you give me an opportunity to spend time. Wonderful. Recalling the sweet old memories, interactions with Bhagwan, and reminding ourselves how we should conduct ourselves.
Yes, sir. Let's pray to Bhagwan that this satsang continues, that we can relive and share these beautiful pearls that Bhagwan has so graciously given all of us. So, dear listeners, please feel free to write to us. It would be lovely to hear from you. Bhagya sir has been so kind to come to the studio and share his time. So do write to us and tell us about what you picked up from this session. What is it that appealed to you? What is it that you think will help you in your spiritual journey? As always, we look forward to your emails, and we'll continue this session in the coming weeks, in the coming Thursdays. We have few more segments in this chapter 10, and we hope and pray that Bhagya sir will be free in the coming sessions too. So with prayers to Bhagwan and immense gratitude for this opportunity to live, to listen and practice these beautiful messages in our lives, we bring this day-long Thursday life to a close. Thank you so much. Sairam.